الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد as to what follows or all praise is due to Allah we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the continuation of tafsir surah al-baqarah in our last session in fact we were at the end of verse 196 however we closed the session before completing the last paragraph from the sheikh's explanation concerning Allah's statement wattaqu Allah yaqul al-sheikh ay fi jami' umurikum bimtithali awamirihi wajtinab nawahih That means taqullah in all of your affairs by fulfilling the obligations and avoiding the prohibitions. وَمِنْ ذَلِكَ امْتِثَالِكُمْ لِهَذِهِ الْمَأْمُورَاتِ وَاجْتِنَابِ هَذِهِ الْمَحْظُورَاتِ الْمَذْكُورَةِ فِي هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ Included is your abandoning or fulfilling the obligations and abandoning the prohibitions that were mentioned in this particular ayah that we had been dealing with the you know fasting and days of Hajj and slaughtering and so on and so forth. أي لمن عص وعلموا أن الله شديد العقاب أي لمن عصاه وهذا هو الموجب للتقوى. And know that Allah is severe in punishment, meaning to the one who disobeys Him, and this is the reason which produces taqwa. Fearing Allah's punishment. You develop taqwa by fearing the punishment of Allah, knowing how severe it is and how incapable we are of handling it. And so the only way to avoid Allah's punishment is by doing what He commanded and staying away from what He prohibited. So then what the people consider to be mean or extreme pain and things of this nature that some of the disbelievers may have an issue with. In fact, for us Muslims, this is great news. Because of these threats that Allah Azza wa Jalla has placed in the Quran, we will strive in our lives not to receive Allah's punishment. If Allah did not elaborate on the punishment and that He is severe punishment, most people being will just depend on Allah's mercy and His forgiveness, and they will live life according to their desires. Most people have this tendency. So when Allah warned us that He is severe in punishment, then this automatically will make the individual reconsider his actions and perhaps will abandon things that he may have done had he not known that Allah Azza wa Jalla is severe in punishment. But alhamdulillah, Allah shadidul iqab, so we remember that. فَإِنَّ مَنْ خَافَ عِقَابَ اللَّهِ إِنْ كَفَّ عَمَّا يُجِبُ الْعِقَابِ Whoever fears Allah's punishment will abandon that which will bring about that punishment. كَمَا أَنَّ مَنْ رَجَّ ثَوَابَ اللَّهِ عَمِلَ لِمَا يُوصِلَهُ إِلَى الثَّوَابِ Similarly, the one who seeks Allah's reward will strive to attain that reward from Allah. وَأَمَّا مَنْ لَمْ يَخَفِ الْعِقَابِ وَلَمْ يَرْجُ الثَّوَابِ اِقْتَحَمَ الْمَحَارِمِ وَتَجَرَّعَ عَلَى تَرْكِ الْوَاجِبَاتِ But the one who does not fear the punishment, nor does he hope for reward, is the one who will transgress against the prohibitions, and he will dare to abandon the obligations. Only the one who does not fear the punishment of Allah, nor does he hope he will be rewarded from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Verse 197. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. الحج أشهر معلومات فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج وما تفعلوا من خير يعلمه الله وتزودوا فإن خير الزاد التقوى واتقون يا أولي الألباب Someone can you read verse 197 please in English interpretation of the meaning that is
For Hajj are the months that alone, if anyone undertakes that duty, therein let there be no obscenity, nor be weakness, nor rallying in the Hajj. And whatever good you do, be sure Allah knows it, and take a provision with you for the journey, but the best of provisions. Is right and that. So fear me, O you that are
wise. Barak Allah fiqh. يقول الشيخ رحمه الله يخبر تعالى أن الحج واقع في أشهر معلومات عند المخاطبين مشهورات بحيث لا تحتاج إلى تخصيص كما احتاج الصيام إلى تعيين شهره. Allah Azza wa Jal informs us that Hajj takes place in known months. Who knows them? What are the months of Hajj? Yes, yes, yes.
Shawwal.
No. That's it. 3 months. After Ramadan. It's the easiest thing in the world. After Ramadan is Shawwal. Shawwal, Dhul Qa'dah, and Dhul Hijjah, or some say Dhul Qa'dah, however. And Dhul Hijjah are the months of Hajj. What does that mean? In fact, when is Hajj? In Dhul Hijjah. But this is because the one doing tamattu performs a Umrah and a Hajj in the months of Hajj. So if someone was to come from India in Shawwal, the first of Shawwal, perform a Umrah and remain in Mecca the whole time, then during the day of Hajj he performs Hajj, he's a mutamatti', combining Umrah and Hajj in the months of Hajj. This is the benefit. Otherwise Hajj, you cannot do Hajj in Shawwal as in the rituals of Hajj. You see, so this, the benefit of this is for the one doing tamattu'. So tamattu' is doing Umrah, a complete Umrah in the months of Hajj. And these are the months of Hajj. Of course, it's a long preparation for that act of worship. And so it is in fixed months. It is known which months it is. So much so that it does not require specifying the actual months. It's famous among the Jahiliyyah, the people of the pre-Islamic days. They knew the months of Hajj. This was something that was established from way before. So unlike Ramadan, fasting, which Allah specified that fasting will be in the month of Ramadan, right? Right? Does anyone remember the evidence that fasting is in Ramadan? شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شاهد منكم الشهر فليصم. Right? So whoever observes is not traveling and he sees the crescent, then let him fast. Right after Allah mentioning شهر رمضان وإن أنزلناه في ليلة القدر, also it is known that it is in the month of Ramadan. So the Quran was revealed in Ramadan, fasting is prescribed in Ramadan. It's a virtuous month in the life of the Muslim. وكما بين تعالى أوقات الصلوات الخمس. And Allah also mentioned the times of the 5 daily prayers. Did you know that in the Quran? Did you know that the 5 daily prayers, Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib and Isha, were mentioned in the Quran? Okay, when you go home, refer to Surah Al-Isra. Surah Al-Isra, أقم الصلاة لدلوك الشمس إلى طلوع إلى غسق الليل. Right? This ayah, in fact, deals with the 5 times of the prayers. Most people will never know that, right? Unless you refer back to the tafsir. But it mentioned that Allah says, وَقُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ. In the first part of the ayah, I mentioned the 4, and the 5th one, وَقُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ. إِنَّ قُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ كَانَ مَشْهُودًا. This ayah, the غسق الليل إلى آخره, all these are the actual times of salawat. Most people don't know that. Of course, the exact time is in the sunnah. But this is, you know, the general timing, in the evening, morning, and so on and so forth. You can refer to Tafsir Ibn Kathir in Surah Al-Isra and see the tafsir of this particular ayah, so you will know that the 5 daily prayers were mentioned in the Quran. وَأَمَّا الْحَجُّ فَقَدْ كَانَ مِنْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ الَّتِي لَمْ تَزَلْ مُسْتَمِرَّ فِي ذُرِّيَّتِهِ مَعْرُوفَةٍ بَيْنَهُمْ. As for Hajj, it goes all the way back to the Ummah, the nation of the way of Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, which has been continuous in his progeny up until today. والمراد بالأشهر المعلومات عند الجمهور شوال وذو القعدة وعشر من ذي الحجة. And the months that are popular among the ulama are, as we mentioned, Shawwal, Dhul Qa'dah, and the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. The 10 days, because when Hajj is over, Hajj is over. فهي التي يقع فيها الإحرام بالحج غالبا. These are the months usually where people enter into the state of Ihram, usually. فمن فرض فيهن الحج أي أحرم به لأن الشروع به يصيره فرضا ولو كان نفلا. So whoever that puts on the ihram, he begins, he initiates the act of worship of Hajj, and that as soon as you initiate it, it becomes obligatory on you to fulfill it. Pay attention. You can't put on ihram and say labbaik Allahumma Hajj, then you say, you know what, I don't think I'm going to do Hajj this year. Cannot do that. You cannot do that. Once you enter into the act of worship, you must complete it. Okay, the nafila, even if it's a voluntary Hajj, you've done Hajj 50 times and you want to do it the 51st time, once you enter, you cannot leave. This is the what Allah, because Allah says, وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ, and complete the Hajj and Umrah. Allah did not give, this is an exception. Most acts of worship, you may change your mind. You may go to pay zakat today, then you say, you know what, I'm going to do it tomorrow. You may begin a salah, then you may leave the salah. You, of course, if you don't have a valid reason, that's another situation. However, you're not obliged to pray the salah again. If you wanted to pray nafila and you stopped, you're not obliged. Hajj and Umrah is unlike that. Once you begin, you must continue. You must continue. واستدل بهذه الآية الشافعي ومن تبعه على أنه لا يجوز الإحرام بالحج قبل أشهره. Now الإمام الشافعي رحمه الله تعالى, one of the four imams, one of the many imams, but among the four most popular in the Muslim ummah, he used or derived a particular ruling from this ayah, which is that it is not allowed for you to enter into ihram for hajj except in these months of hajj, right? Because you find other ulama that say you may do it beforehand, you may do it before these 3 months, these ashur, the ma'lumat. قلت لو قيل أن فيها دل... Now the sheikh has a response. قلت, I say, لو قيل أن فيها دلالة لقول الجمهور بصحة الإحرام بالحج قبل أشهره لكان قريبا. He said, on the other hand, if I were to say that in this ayah there's an evidence for the opinion of the majority of the scholars that إحرام before حج is acceptable, that would be closer. Now listen to the sheikh. فإن قوله فمن فرض فيهن الحج دليل على أن الفرض قد يقع في الأشهر المذكورة وقد لا يقع فيها إلا وإلا لم يقيده. The Sheikh said, the fact that Allah says, so whoever فرض, يعني begins the act of worship in these months, the Sheikh said, this is an indication that the initiation of Hajj may occur in these months, or it may occur outside, right? In other times. Otherwise Allah would have not specified whoever farada fihinna in these months Hajj. And again, this is an issue of difference of opinion among the ulama. Some of them say it's vast, and some of them say these are the months of Hajj. Then you can only, like Imam Shafi'i, you can only initiate your Hajj in these months of Hajj. You want to follow an opinion, and you get a fatwa from a alim who you trust. فقوله فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج والله المستعان. This is where it becomes difficult, right? As far as those who will be performing Hajj inshallah, or those who have performed Hajj before. أَيَّجِبُ أَن تُعَظِّمُ الْإِحْرَامَ بِالْحَجِّ وَخُصُوصًا الْوَاقِعِ فِي أَشْهُرِهِ وَتَصُونُوهُ عَنْ كُلِّ مَا يُفْسِدُهُ أَوْ يُنْقِصُهُ مِنَ الرَّفَثِ وَهُوَ الْجِمَاعِ وَمُقَدِّمَاتِهِ الْفِعْلِيَّةِ وَالْقَوْلِيَّةِ خُصُوصًا عِنْدَ النِّسَاءِ بِحَضْرَتِهِنْ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَهِيَ جَمِيعُ الْمَعَاصِي. The Sheikh said, you should exalt, you know, the rights of this, the ihram, the sacredness of this particular month, especially if you begin Hajj in these months. And you should avoid anything that may corrupt or decrease your Hajj, such as rafath. And according to the Shaykh, and the ulama have different concerns in that statement. Rafath, some of them say it is intercourse, it is sexual relations with one's spouse. And some say rafath is just any obscene act. The most popular one is rafath, meaning relationships, because fusuq deals with the obscenity and you know, disobedience and so on and so forth. Meaning jima', sexual intercourse, and anything that will, any introduction to that, be it verbal action or verbal, meaning anything that may lead to one having a relation with his wife, flirtation, touching, you know, things that will arouse the man and the woman and may cause them to lose control of things and wind up falling into the prohibition. So that you need to leave alone. Especially when women are around, right? Because the tendency becomes from, you may be on the phone and you get excited, but hey, there's nothing you can do about it. But if the woman is there and you're doing things that may, you know, cause you to get more excited, then usually a man will fall apart. Well, fusuq and disobedience, wa jami'u al-ma'asi, it is all kinds of sins. Fusq is disobedience, defiantly. Fasiq is one who is defiantly disobedient. Wa minha mahdurat al-ihram, included in that are all the prohibitions of ihram: cutting the nails, cutting the hair, covering the head, wearing sewed clothes, and so on and so forth. wearing cologne. والجدال وهو الممارات والمنازع والمخاصمة لكونها تثير الشر وتوقع العداوة. And any kind of argumentation, quarreling, because it is means to produce evil and cause enmity between the people. And you've seen wonders in Hajj, right? I mean, if you've been to Hajj, you see the this is how the shaitan will ruin one's Hajj. You get this, you know, crazy bus driver, right, who doesn't speak any language, doesn't speak any language that you speak. You cannot communicate with him. He wants to pull over to smoke, you know, or he wants to smoke on the bus, right? After new Muslims who went to Hajj, you know, and you hear wonders. Now this fitna, this is a fitna, because, you know, this opens the door, and you see people always, whether the new Muslims or otherwise, fighting with the bus drivers, fighting with each other on the road. This all negates the Hajj. This in fact may nullify the reward of Hajj. Because the condition for Hajj to be mabrur, huh, righteous, accepted by Allah, is that there's no jidal. Once you get into argumentation, nonsensical argumentation, you're done. Now, that does not mean you don't enjoy what is good, forbid what is evil. You see, that works all the time. And the ulama say, if you are in a position where you're advising someone and it requires that you argue with them to explain some knowledge, then this is excluded from that. This is dealing with people fighting over nothing. Yani khalas, it's over. He already missed the exit. So you fight with them over missing the exit. What do you want him to do? Go back in time and make it to the exit? It's done. So, you know, the shaitan will trick people into that, and you see his whole hajj is upset. So when you go through tawaf, and you get this, you know, person coming from nowhere with an elbow like this, all the way, it's like almost a wrestling ring. What do you do? You have to take it easy, you know? Tafadhal, go ahead. You have to be, you have to observe your behavior and be mindful of Allah. Because, you know, any plane around may ruin your hajj. Do you want to go through all the effort? I mean, it's tiring. Hajj is a tiring experience. Do you want to ruin everything over some silly man or silly incident? No. Because of that, you have to be mindful of Allah all the time. Anytime you're in a situation where people are misbehaving, even Muslims, elder Muslims, then you need to take it easy. Always give them the right of way. Let things go. Don't argue with anyone. But it doesn't mean that you don't enjoy what is good, forbid what is evil. Some of the Salaf, when they would go for Hajj, they say he would be like a mute snake. He would go for Hajj and he would say absolutely nothing. People would not speak to anyone. He's just busy with the talbiyah and with dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. They don't even communicate in order to close the door from getting into any argumentation of this nature. Allah musta'an. Look at us and you will think that we're on just something else. والمقصود من الحج الذل والانكسار لله. The objective of Hajj is that you humiliate yourself and you break yourself for Allah. والتقرب إليه بما أمكن من القربات والتنزه عن مقارفة السيئات. And seeking nearness to Allah in all means of obedience and avoiding committing any sins at all. فإنه بذلك يكون مبرورا. It is with that your Hajj will become mabrur, meaning acceptable. According to the ulama, mabrur Hajj mabrur, acceptable Hajj, righteous rewarding Hajj, whereby the person upon completing this Hajj will be like a newborn baby. And because of this, the ulama take an evidence that Hajj will all, because usually you have narrations that say if you do that, then this will forgive all of your sins as long as the kaba'ir are avoided. Right or wrong? It specifies like Ramadan to Ramadan, Salah to Salah, and so on and so forth. Will Umrah to Umrah, will expiate all sins between them as long as you avoid major sins, which is what? Major sins are not forgiven. That requires tawbah. But the ulama, some of the ulama deduce from this one that Hajj will include your major sins. Why? Who could pick it up?
Because you will go back without sin.
You'll be black when you were born with major sins or with no sins? No sins. So when he described the person as being newborn, meaning zero sins, so that means that includes the major sins. Ulama, I'm telling you, they're amazing people, man. We would never think of this, probably. You know, maybe for 20 years we'd be thinking and never come up with something like that. But that's a very strong observation. That the fact that Allah mentioned, as the Prophet mentioned, you'll be back like your mother gave birth to you on that day. You were born sinless. Unless you're a Christian and you believe you were born with original sin, then that's another discussion. If you're a Muslim, you know you were born sinless. So then Hajj includes major sins. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. That's a big deal. That's like you 40 years old, 50 years old, 30 years old, standing on the street with zero sins on your book of deeds. Come on now. Zero. Nothing. All you have to do is do good for the rest of your life. And you go straight to Jannah. That's a big deal. But how do you get there? By striving. So what happens is you get some funny Muslims who say, I will live according to my desires until I'm 45 years old. Then I will go do Hajj. Then I'll be a newborn baby. Then from that day on, I will change my lifestyle. I will become an obedient Muslim, attending the masjid and so on and so forth. Two things they miss. Number one, you may not live there. It's common sense. Number two, if you've been disobeying Allah all these years, what in the world makes you think that you'll be able to handle business in Hajj? If during the times of ease, you're already with an evil character, arguing with the people, disobeying Allah, you think in Hajj, when the test is at the highest peak, you're going to be able to obey Allah and be a righteous man? Impossible. Allah will not give you this kind of tawfiq because you don't deserve it. The one who strives on regular days, Allah will protect him during the days of Hajj from doing anything that will nullify his Hajj. But for the disobedient one, most likely, chances are, unless Allah wills otherwise. But you know, the standard is, he will not be able to handle business. As soon as he gets into some, you know, issues, he will ruin his Hajj. And all of his plans have been destroyed. His Hajj will not be accepted. He will not be a newborn baby, and he will carry all of the sins that he had all these years, along with the sins he will be committing in the future. So some people want to play games with Allah. And wallahi, it's not befitting that someone plays these kinds of games. Yani, I'm going to disobey Allah, then what do you think this is? Allah knows about all these things, man. You can't be playing this kind of... No one can trick Allah in this fashion, right? He knows the intricate details of one's thoughts. So, you know, just keep it real and, you know, do your best now. And if you go for Hajj, then this is a bonus from Allah Azza wa Jal. طيب. والمبرور ليس له جزاء إلا الجنة كما في صحيح مسلم من حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه. The acceptable Hajj has no reward but Jannah. يعني ultimately the person will be going to Jannah. وهذه الأشياء وإن كانت ممنوعة في كل مكان وزمان فإنه يتغلظ المنع عنها في الحج. Now these things, even though they are prohibited during every time and every place, it is more specifically prohibited in the days of Hajj, in the months of Hajj. يعني it is multiplied, that prohibition. حسنا وعلم أنه لا يتم أو لا يتم التقرب إلى الله بترك المعاصي حتى يفعل الأوامر. And know that you cannot truly seek nearness to Allah. It is not sufficient to seek nearness to Allah by simply avoiding the sins, right? Until you do the commandments. Who can give me an example? Yalla Shabab, wake up, wake up, wake up! Friday morning.
Pardon?
Pardon? Pardonin. Salat pardonat. The Shaykh said, you cannot truly become obedient to Allah, close to Allah, until not only you avoid the haram, but you must do the obligations. How is that? طيب. But we want something like very general. Because I have a thought that you may not share with me. Not that you don't, you probably have better ideas, but I'm saying what I'm thinking is difficult to convey, so I might as well just say it myself. If somebody said, I will not worship any other gods, I will not worship any gods, I'm not going to commit shirk, I won't worship Hindu gods, I won't worship Jesus, nothing. Is that sufficient for him to get near to Allah? No. What is missing? Worshipping Allah. La ilaha illallah. Yes, it's good to negate false gods, but you will not truly be a Muslim until you worship Allah. So if somebody says, I'm an atheist, I don't have a problem, I will not worship any false god, then we say this is not sufficient for you, right? Somebody say, I will not backbite, I will not lie, I will not cheat and everything, but I don't want to pray.
society is given to Allah. Until you abandon the prohibitions and you fulfill the obligations. So you must fulfill the obligations. And another evidence for that is the statement of Allah, Hadith Qudsi, right? وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَضْتُ عَلَيْهِ. And my servant does not come near to me with anything more beloved to me than that which I have made obligatory for him. وَلَا يَزَالُ تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّ. And he will continue to get near to me through voluntary deeds until I love him. So Allah mentioned that for you to attain Allah's love by default, then attain Allah's extra love, huh? Then you must do things, voluntary deeds and obligatory deeds. It is not enough to abandon disobedience. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ تَعَالَى وَمَا تَفْعَلُ مِنْ خَيْرٍ يَعْلَمْهُ اللَّهُ. Oh, beautiful.
Did this just happen or for a long time? Alhamdulillah, Jazakallahu khairan. I guess I'm getting too excited in my movement. Keep an eye, huh? Barakallahu fi. Aywa. This is what Allah says, and whatever good you put forth, Allah knows it. أتى بمن لتنصيص العموم بكل خير وقرب وعبادة داخل في ذلك وما تفعل من خير. Linguistically this has a value, which means that this is to specify and generalize every single deed. Every single deed, anything that you do, any act of worship is included. من خير, يعني nothing is excluded. فأي فإن الله بي عليم وهذا يتضمن غاية الحث على أفعال الخير خصوصا في تلك البقاع الشريفة والحرمات المنيفة. And this ayah is a major encouragement for one to establish good deeds, because Allah is telling you that He knows about it. So when you do it, Allah is aware of it, meaning He will reward you accordingly with goodness. Specifically in these blessed lands, you know, and these places, these high lofty places that Allah Azza wa Jalla has chosen among the rest of the lands which are not as beloved to Him as Mecca and Al-Haram, the Kaaba. These are sacred places that Allah Azza wa Jalla has made like that. And so we follow and we honor them accordingly as well. So you know, this obedience there is multiplied. In the haram, this obedience there is multiplied, just like good deeds are multiplied. Why? Because of the virtue of the place. Because of the virtue of the place. طيب. The same way, disobeying a command is haram, but doing it to your parents is much more severe, right? Somebody may ask you to do something and you are supposed to do it and you don't do it. But if your parents ask you to do something that you're supposed to do and you don't do it, this is more sinful, because it includes disobeying the parents, being undutiful to your parents. So you know, Islam made a distinction between things. They're not all the same. طيب فإنه ينبغي تدارك ما أمكن تداركه فيها من صلاة وصيام وصدقة وطواف وإحسان قولي وفعلي. So one must strive to attain whatever one is able to attain of prayers, of fasting, of charity, of tawaf and ihsan, goodness, be it verbally or in action. ثم أمر تعالى بالتزود لهذا السفر المبارك. Then Allah commanded that you prepare yourself. You carry your sustenance for this blessed travel. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله. فإن التزود فيه الاستغناء عن المخلوقين. Because really in preparing oneself, there is self-sufficiency. Being not in need of people, because that is not a very good state. If you go to Hajj and you wind up asking this person for this and asking this person for that, and this, you know, this is not befitting, right? The Muslim should prepare himself to the best of his ability. Yes, if Allah decreed that we are in circumstances where we have to ask, then the Muslims are a single brotherhood. However, if one is able to prepare himself in that he does all the necessary precautionary preparation, so when he goes to Hajj, he will need none. Close the door for anything that will distract you from worship of Allah. Take your mattress and take your blankets and take your double second ihram, if you want to take it. Have everything ready. So when you're there, you are preoccupied with worshiping Allah. You don't have to go shopping and go looking for this and go looking for that. All these may distract a person. So Allah commanded us تزود فتزودوا أو تزودوا إيه والكف عن أموالهم سؤالا واستشرافا and you don't have to ask people for their wealth وفي الإكثار منه نفع وإعانة المسافرين and in taking abundance is good and help aid for the travelers وزيادة قربة لرب العالمين and more means to seek nearness to the Lord of the worlds meaning if you take extra you can help your brothers instead of you asking you are the one providing so you're helping a haji perform hajj and this is a big deal it may be a towel that you give him by which he does his whole hajj and you are sharing the reward with him because you aided him in establishing this hajj of his through a towel that you gave so taking is far better than as we know in Islam يعني the اليد العليا خير من اليد السفلى the upper hand is better than the lower hand يعني giving is better than receiving this is the way it goes طيب وهذا الزاد الذي المراد منه إقامة البنية بلغة ومتاع and what is intended here is that which will keep your you keep you fit physically يعني your food right means of survival and your clothing and anything that will get you to your destination وأما الزاد الحقيقي المستمر نفعه نفعه لصاحبه في دنياه وأخراه فهو زاد التقوى as for the true zad The true zad is like that which you carry, right? Your provision. Provision, that's the word. The best provision, in fact, that will continue for its possessor in this life and in his life to come, it is the provision of taqwa. That's the ultimate provision. الذي هو زاد إلى دار القرار. This is your provision to the home of residency. To Jannah. وهو الموصل لأكمل لذة وأجل نعيم دائما أبدا. And it is the means by which you make it to the most delightful, pleasing reward ever, which is Jannah. And without that provision of taqwa, one may never make it there. One may never make it there ever by leaving Islam altogether. Or one may not make it there initially by going to Jahannam first and getting a share of the punishment والعياذ بالله before he is allowed to enter Jannah if he died upon Tawheed. So either way, the human being should observe these realities. We have been given this short span of life. قال كم لبثتم في الأرض عدد سنين قالوا لبثنا يوما أو بعض يوم فاسأل العادين Allah will say how long did you observe how long did you reside on this earth they will say we remain on this earth a day or part of a day meaning your lifespan in relationship to the lifespan of the universe is like a day or half a day what are you what is our life nothing Allah gave us this 50, 60, 40, 30, 20 years, whatever they are, to live. And He sent revelation. And He sent a messenger. And He told us, this is the road to paradise. This is what you need to do. Nah? This is the road to Jahannam. This is what you need to avoid. And some people still get things mixed up. Foolishness. Foolishness. That's all you have to do. You were only created for this. Not like this is something that suddenly came, right? You were living life and all of a sudden revelation came. Like, whoa, where did this come from? You were created for that. And you were told in the most clearest words, this is what you need to do. Follow this man, messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Follow him in every aspect of life. Don't disobey him. Don't go on this road, you'll be punished. And people still go this way. It's amazing, right? If you think about it in this, like, see, what happened to the children of Adam? Okay, the kuffar, they're stupid. But the Muslims, no. It's not befitting for a Muslim who knows this revelation, who believes in Allah on the last day, to be doing this. So it's a test. Everything is a test. Wake up. Every time you test it between obedience and disobedience, obey Allah and abandon disobedience. That's it. This is taqwa. And that's all we need to be saved. And not only we're saved from punishment, rather we are rewarded with reward that cannot be expressed in words. Beyond your imagination what is in Jannah. And as the Prophet ﷺ said, Jannah is closer to you than your shoelaces. You're just around to go there if you die. Just around the corner. And so is Jahannam. It's just around the corner. So ultimately, this taqwa then is so crucial in our life that we cannot afford to play around with it. Right? It's not about money, it's not about job, it's not about our business, it's not about our career. These are all secondary items which the shaitan made a priority. They are important so we can survive. No one will deny that. You want a good job, you want to make good money, you want to relax. But these are secondary to Allah's rights. When the shaitan makes them on top and Allah's rights become below, this is when we are losing taqwa. We're not among the muttaqeen ultimately. So we have to put things in the right perspective. Prioritize Allah and His Messenger first, and then everything else in this world. Anything which opposes or contradicts Allah and His Messenger, in Saudi street terms, khalli walli. Everybody knows khalli walli? This is the best time to use it. Leave it alone. No one should come in between us and obeying Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is how one in fact attains success. This is what we need to know, brothers, and so this is not only in Hajj. This is a 24-hour, 7-day duty that a Muslim has. Every day from the moment you wake up until you go to sleep, you are obliged to have to be mindful and conscious of these Islamic teachings. Otherwise, we will fail on the Day of Judgment. And it would be too late at that particular point. Then, the Shaykh says, وَمَنْ تَرَكَ هَذَا الزَّادْ فَهُوَ الْمُنْقَطِعُ بِهِ. And whoever abandons his provision, then he will be cut off. He will be cut off according to his lack of provision. الَّذِي هُوَ عَرْضَةٌ لِكُلِّ شَرٍ وَمَمْنُوعٍ مِنَ الْوَصُولِ إِلَى دَارِ الْمُتَّقِينَ. This person will be exposed to every kind of evil and every kind of thing which will prevent him from making it to the home of the righteous. فَهَذَا مَدْحٌ لِلْتَقْوَى. So Allah is praising taqwa in this particular ayah. ثُمَّ أَمَرَ بِهَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Then Allah commanded who? The people of understanding. Not the one who, if you give a mathematical equation, wallah, you know, x2 over y2 equal whatever, he will tell you what x is equal to, right? Not this one. The one who knows to obey Allah and His Messenger from the opposite. That this is the one with the mind. Yes, you get Einstein and you get all these philosophers who had a huge brain in a sense of their worldly life, but they were not able to understand the most basic of things concerning their Creator. So this person is not really smart. And that's why Allah always addresses the believers as ulil albab. People of insight, people of understanding, people who know how to weigh things and choose that which is more rightly should be chosen. So inshallah we'll be among them. وَاتَّقُونِي يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Then fear me, have taqwa of me, O people of understanding. أي أهل العقول الرزينة. The people of a sound mind, not the feeble-minded. اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ. Have taqwa of your Lord. الَّذِي تَقْوَاهُ أَعْظَمْ مَا تَأْمُرُ بِهِ الْعُقُولِ. Whose taqwa is the greatest thing your mind asks you to do. Your mind naturally, by natural disposition, commands you to obey Allah Azza wa Jal. وَتَرْكُهَا دَلِيلٌ عَلَى الْجَهْلِ وَفَسَادِ الرَّأِيِ. And abandoning that is an indication that the person is ignorant and has a bad understanding of things. It's a wicked opinion. The one who doesn't have taqwa. Now, I was mentioning earlier, taqwa. But we don't want to, if you really want to understand it, brothers, we don't want to restrict it, as I mentioned earlier, to obeying and disobeying. There are areas where one may get plenty of reward, but we are negligent. So taqwa then, this provision which you are preparing for the hereafter, is not simply the basic commandments and the basic prohibitions that we avoid. There's more to it. In terms of prohibitions, there's what we know as wara'. Have you heard of that word before? Wara'. Wara'. Tawarra'. Wara' is precautionary stance that one has from what possibly may lead to haram. It is not haram, but because you're afraid that by doing that it may lead you to haram, you don't do it. For example, you used to be a non-Muslim and you had girlfriends in your previous times, or you were a bad Muslim, you were not practicing and you had girlfriends, right? And now you know that Facebook, if you land an account on Facebook, you will start getting all of these ladies from back in the days, finding you and trying to contact you. Wara means that even though it's halal to get a Facebook, if you're not going to look at haram, assuming that you get a Facebook strictly for da'wah, only da'wah, there's no pictures of anyone, no pictures of anything, only videos of Islamic da'wah or material, and you don't have any friends with women, assuming. If you believe that due to this account, you may be contacted by some of these old ladies, not old ladies in age, old ladies from your life, that you don't want to open the door for yourself, then you don't open a Facebook account. This is called wara, where something may initially be allowed, but due to your fear that it may lead you to haram, you know yourself better than anyone else, you don't do it. So taqwa involves that. It involves that you avoid things which may be okay, to avoid things which may lead you to haram. On the other hand, now, I do have a Facebook account, just so you not think that I'm saying something I'm doing. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, by the grace of Allah, I wasn't the one who put it together, somebody else did for me. May Allah reward them with goodness, or may Allah forgive them for doing that. However, I don't approve any female friends. Anytime I get these invitations from all people, I just ignore, and alatul, there's only strictly men. And if one of these days I go into this, you know, my Facebook page, which is very rarely, and I see somebody looking funny in his profile picture, I delete him alatul. I take him out from the list of friends, because I don't want someone to enter the account and see some fool standing there with no t-shirt, you know, with a big smile on his face, and his girlfriend behind him. Right? Even though he's a male, that picture will cause a sin for the one who sees it because of me. He went to my account, he saw these friends of mine, one of them looking like, John Travolta. I would be sinful. So I take these people out. I try to keep it only for da'wah, because these are old friends from old days, and you kind of want to establish da'wah with them, because Allah musta'an, most of them are misguided. Most of them are misguided, you know, people from back in my home country. So the objective of it is that. If you don't have such objectives, then Facebook might as well, you know, hit the road, right? You don't need Facebook, it's just evil. They've come up with ways where you could not allow people to see different things, and you could keep it Islamic to some extent. If you're following these Islamic guidelines, barakallah fiqh, nothing wrong with that. But if you're not, and you just, you know, all the friends you have, you know, adding pictures, then the person goes to them, and then they go to their profile, they see pictures of parties, people drinking, a'udhu billah, major evil. And you will be responsible for providing people with these images, because you had these people as your friends. So this part of taqwa, that you think about these things, that, you know, you will be asked, what did you do in terms of wara? And on the other hand, al-ashya, يعني al-mustahabba, the recommended acts of worship, salah, jumu'ah. You see people standing outside at 12 o'clock, there's 10 minutes for the jumu'ah, and brothers are just hanging out, waiting for A or waiting for Z, yes, but the masjid is close. If you really want to go to Jannah on a one-way ticket, walk instead of waiting an hour for someone to drive you there. I'm telling you, you don't have to do that. So it's an obligation on you. However, if you really want to be among the righteous, take the extra step, go early. When you're done with your classes and you're not doing anything, this is not time to socialize. This is the day of Jumu'ah. The earlier you go, the greater your reward. Huge reward is awaiting you at the masjid, only for you to sit down. If you don't read, you don't read Quran, you don't pray nawafil, as long as you're sitting, Allah will give you the reward of one who's establishing salah. And you're sitting. And angels who don't disobey Allah are saying, Allahumma akfir lahu, Allahumma arhamhu, Allah forgive him, Allah mercy on him. What else do you want? You don't get this in the da'wah center. You don't get this hanging outside. This is in the house of Allah. So go early. Unless you're the khatib of a masjid, then the sunnah is that you go before the khutbah. Right? If you're a khatib and you see someone hanging out at 12:15, give him the benefit of the doubt that maybe he's given khutbah somewhere. He doesn't have to be there an hour early. He just comes from the door onto the minbar, assalamu alaikum, and the khutbah begins. So if you see someone who's late and he's commanding you to do otherwise, assume that the brother may be a khatib or something along these lines. If you know he's not a khatib, then say, brother, you should be in the masjid right now, right? So this is all included in taqwa. Because some people, alhamdulillah, they do the good, avoid the evil, and you know, this. But these things, there's major negligence in terms of the means to get extra reward. So we shouldn't be like that. If you really want to have the provision fact on the day of judgment, then, you know, Do all these things inshallah. In fact, there's a hadith on authentic narration. Prophet ﷺ said that whoever has relations with his wife, yani basically whoever does ghusl on the day of Jumu'ah and causes his wife to do ghusl on the day of Jumu'ah, meaning they have a relation from Fajr time until he goes to the Salah, and he walks to the masjid and he does not write, alaykum salam wa rahmatullah, then whoever then walks to the masjid and does not write, he will get a reward with every step, prayer for a whole year in Qiyam and fasting for a whole year. For every step. Yani if you married and in the morning you come here, then you walk to the masjid, every step is an act of worship for a year, fasting the day and praying the night. Authentic narration from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of these days, try it, right? What you gotta lose? Even if you go back home, and as long as you walk to the masjid, it may be a little far, but it's worth it. So we have to also these, if we are aware of them, and we do them, alhamdulillah. These are all means to increase our provision, because it's provision. The bigger, the better, right? That's how it goes. We will conclude, inshallah, the next ayat, dealing with the actual, mashallah, subhanallah, the timing. Will be here another Friday, or Hajj will... Still there's another Friday, right? The next Friday, subhanallah, will be dealing with the exact rites of Hajj. Yani, the acts of worship in Hajj will be dealt with bi-idhnillah azza wa jalla next week, so this is very convenient, subhanallah. We didn't even plan to do it, otherwise usually we're supposed to have Hajj classes, but our Hajj class will be our tafsir class. So, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.